Previously on 24.
David, what have you done?
Excuse me, sir?
I just got a call from the Secretary of State telling me about a covert action against the Chinese consulate in Los Angeles.
That's correct. I sanctioned it.
You authorized an attack on their consulate. That's a military engagement.
It was a covert operation.
We marched onto Chinese soil. We kidnapped one of their nationals, and in the process, the Chinese consul was killed.
Mr. President, if we don't find that warhead before it's deployed, 10 million Americans could face annihilation.
We could be at war with 1 billion Chinese.
Is he gonna make it?
We're gonna do the best we can.
I just need him coherent long enough to get the information about Marwan and the missing warhead.
I know, Jack. You already made me aware of that when you forced me to sacrifice Paul Raine's life.
So sorry.
You made a choice that killed Paul, and I'm trying to deal with it. We both have a job. Let's just do it.
I know that he worked with Marwan on the warhead. Now he needs to tell us where it is.
He doesn't know, but he knows where Marwan might be. A factory on 6th.
They're looking for the warhead in their cities. They have no idea that it's going to be delivered by missile. Start the sequence.
We're done here.
They can't stop us now.
Jack and Curtis lead a SWAT team into the factory and capture Marwan as he tries to escape.
I've been waiting for this.
You're too late.
Jack shoots Marwan in the arm.
Kill me. I won't stop the mess.
Tony, can you see this?
Yeah.
Can you get a source of the transmission?
No, Jack, it's on an encrypted uplink. There's no way to trace it.
Marwan grins as the countdown comes to an end. 2, 1. The missile launches from the ground.
The following takes place between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Tony, it's Jack. Have you got a lock on the missile?
No, we're still trying to find it, Jack. What are you going to do with Marwan?
We're going to scan the building one more time, then I'm going to bring him into CTU. I want you to prep a holding room. Tony, I'm going off a comm. If you need me, get me on my cell.
All right, you got it.
I want you to try and decode his files. I'm going to go prep a team to scan the building.
Unbelievable. How the hell did they manage to assemble a missile capable of carrying a nuclear warhead?
S-series cruise missile. Stealth technology. They must have smuggled it in piece by piece and then assembled it on site.
If it's stealth, we can't track it by radar. What about targets?
Pull it up. An S-series has a range of 1,800 miles, which means a warhead could be delivered from the Midwest to anywhere in the continental United States.
Those missiles travel at a speed of 600 miles an hour, which means it could hit a target on either coast in under 3 hours.
That's assuming it's headed for the coast. If it's not, it can hit its target at any time.
Curtis with Marwan's laptop.
There are no files on this. He just used it to unscramble the downlink.
What else did you find?
Nothing. It was clean. Just the laptop and the cell phone.
Okay, take the SIM card out of the phone. Upload it to CTU. See if any of it's traceable.
You got it.
This is Bauer.
Jack! This is President Logan. I've just been told a cruise missile was launched containing a nuclear warhead.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Our military tracking device is doing everything they can to find the trajectory of the missile. But we don't have a lot to go on.
What about Marwan, Jack? You think he'll break?
That won't be easy, sir. He's planned and organized everything that's happened today. He's committed to his cause. He's prepared to die.
I know you'll do your best. Keep me posted.
Yes, sir, I will.
Let the Joint Chiefs know of the situation, but tell them that this should be limited to the intelligence community only.
Sir, if a nuclear missile has been launched, we have to assume that Washington is its target.
What are our options?
We don't have many. Our first priority is to establish a continuity of government and start a quiet evacuation of government personnel in the city.
Bring the cabinet members and the Speaker of the House to the bunker. The Congress and Pentagon should be taken to the mountain safety facility.
Right.
Mike, let them know that this is a Category 1 emergency. Tell them nothing more. We can't afford an information leak.
David, the public needs to be warned. Cities need to be evacuated.
Not yet. Let's see what Bauer comes up with first.
A CTU agent secures Marwan to a chair with a rope.
He'll die before he talks to us.
I know. You can stand down.
Jack sits opposite Marwan, astride a chair.
You and I both know all I want to do right now is kill you. But I have my orders. We've run out of time. You win. I've been instructed to ask you what you want.
What I want is already happening.
The death and destruction of innocent life is a means to an end. Why don't we just skip to the end?
To the end?
Everything that you did today, you did for a reason, for your people. What do you want to change?
I have no interest in having a political discussion with you.
I'm in a unique position to make things happen. I have the ear of the President of the United States right now. You have the power to make any kind of deal that you want. And I promise you, he'll do more for you and your people if you cooperate with me than if you let that missile hit its target. You tell me where the missile's headed. You help me stop it. And I guarantee you that you will talk to the President. And he will listen to you. He has no choice. Right here, right now, you have the chance to get what you want.
I already have, Agent Bauer. After this day, every elected official and citizen of America will know that America cannot intervene in our lives, in our countries, with impunity. Besides, your president sees me in only one dimension: evil.
As you see us.
Yes, and vulnerable.
406, Edgar at his workstation.
Chloe, come here.
What?
You're never gonna believe what I just found. I got names of some of the calls received on Marwan's cell phone. Take a look.
Richard Heller.
That's right, Secretary of Defense Heller's son called Marwan a week ago.
Did you tell anyone yet?
They glance at Audrey.
No, just you.
I'll let Buchanan know.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Buchanan to Tony.
With every minute that passes, the missile's target zone widens. We need to get updates from regional teams.
Sorry to interrupt, but you need to hear this. Edgar just pulled a name off Marwan's cell phone. It was from a call he received last week.
Who called him?
Richard Heller.
You sure?
Yeah, we ran the number and it came up as originating from Richard Heller's cell phone.
That must be how Marwan knew where Secretary Heller was going to be yesterday morning.
You think Richard helped to plan his own dad's kidnapping?
I don't know.
Where does he know?
Well, it's 4 a.m. He's at home asleep, I guess.
Where does he live, Chloe?
Van Nuys.
Do we have field teams in the area?
Oh, no, I'll pull it up on the IP phone.
As Chloe checks the field teams, Tony looks grimly towards Audrey, busy at her workstation.
Yes, we do.
Dispatch them. I'll call Secretary Heller, tell him his son's being brought back in.
Chloe, does Audrey know about this?
No, it's more of a management conversation, don't you think? This is O'Brien. Your team has been issued new orders. You are to dispatch immediately to Van Nuys.
408, Tony to Audrey.
Audrey, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure. What is it?
It's about your brother, Richard.
Is he all right?
I assume he is, yeah.
What do you mean?
We just found out that Habib Marwan got a call from Richard's cell phone a week ago.
I'm sorry, but that's absurd.
We don't know what it means yet, but Buchanan is sending a team over to pick Richard up right now.
Tony, my brother was already brought in once today, and he was cleared.
Yeah, I know. But this call definitely connects him to Marwan and the missile.
Look, I don't know how he got mixed up in this, but my brother is not a terrorist.
Audrey. Richard's phone number was found on the receive registry of Marwan's SIM card.
Does my father know about this?
Cannon's calling him right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Curtis receives a call from CTU.
All right. I'll tell him, yeah. Jack, we got something.
What?
Richard Heller called Marwan a week ago.
We're sure about this?
Yeah. They're bringing him to CTU.
I want to question this kid myself. We need to get back there now.
The suspect in the vehicles. We're headed back to CTU now.
Doesn't matter where you take me.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
409. Agents gather together evidence and place Marwan's laptop into a bag before escorting Marwan from the factory building. As they march him towards a CTU vehicle, Buchanan calls Jack.
Bauer.
Jack, were you able to get anything out of Marwan?
No, we're going to take him back to CTU. We've got a better chance of breaking him there. We're about 10 minutes out.
A rocket-propelled grenade takes out the lead CTU vehicle as terrorists open fire and ambush the field team. Marwan's guards fall dead on the ground under heavy machine gun fire. Jack and Curtis dive for cover and crouch behind overflowing bins in a darkened back alley. A terrorist climbs into Marwan's vehicle.
Can you see the shooter? Stop behind us!
As Jack and Curtis return fire, Marwan is driven away.
Notify the perimeter. We no longer have Marwan in custody.
Perimeter team, Marwan's escaped. He's headed towards the southwest sector.
Jack shoots at the vehicle as it speeds off. 410. End of part one. Part two. 415. Buchanan to Chloe.
Chloe, what have you got on Marwan?
Nothing. He already ditched the transport vehicle and we can't find him on satellite.
How did his people get into that area?
They didn't. They must have been there before us. Marwan secured the location.
All right, have perimeter teams comb the nearby buildings for remaining hostiles, then shift personnel to tracking the missile.
We lost them, Jack.
Damn it, Tony, how?
They dumped their vehicle on the freeway. In the chaos, Marwan must have gotten into another car and driven off. We're trying to analyze the satellite right now, but the images are too noisy.
How does Buchanan want to handle this?
I'm here, Jack. Finding Marwan is becoming less likely. With that missile in the air, we have to follow primary leads only. Right now, that's Richard Hiller.
Has he arrived yet?
No, our team's on the way to get him. He'll be back here momentarily.
Bill, I want to interrogate this kid myself.
I understand. I'll have him ready for you.
Okay, we're on our way in. Curtis, we need to get back to CTU. They lost Marwan. We're going to have to track him from there.
What did Buchanan say?
Richard Heller's in first position. We're going to interrogate him.
President Logan holds a cabinet briefing in the White House bunker.
Mr. President.
Please, everybody, be seated. I would like to apologize for the abruptness of your removal from your homes and your offices. Please know that every precaution had to be taken to ensure the secrecy of your arrival. The U.S. has been thrown into a Category 1 emergency. A cruise missile containing a nuclear warhead has been launched and is now headed for, we believe, a major U.S. city, very possibly Washington, D.C. Now, all branches of the military have been alerted, and they're doing everything in their power to locate the missile and to intercept it.
Excuse me, sir. You're saying that not only do we not know what the missile's target is, but you don't even know where the missile is?
That's correct.
When do you plan to inform the public?
As of this time, we feel that informing the public wouldn't be in the country's best interest.
We meaning who, Mr. President?
I feel that way, Mr. Speaker.
Doesn't the public have a right to know the truth?
That's all I have for now. When I know more, an update will be given. Thank you.
Donald Ashton, Speaker of the House.
Gentlemen.
Mr. President.
Yes, Don.
Sir, I do not wish to question your decision in front of the cabinet, but I think that you're making a grave mistake in not alerting the public.
Look, I've thought a lot about this, and I'm certain it's the right course.
Well, if I may say so, sir, you do not seem certain.
It's a difficult day for all of us, Don. Now, if you'll excuse me.
A suspicious Ashton turns to Mike Novick.
Mike, what's going on here?
Meaning what?
Logan was sworn in a few hours ago. We're under a massive terrorist attack. He needs all the help he can get.
He understands that, and he's seeking advice from everywhere.
Not from his cabinet. Or the congressional leadership.
Time, Don. Give it time.
Ashton watches Novick enter Logan's office. Inside, he's shocked to see Logan taking advice from David Palmer. 418. Tony to Michelle.
Tacticals at Richard's house are going through his things right now.
What about Jack?
Jack and Curtis are on their way back.
Someone has to tell Audrey that Jack's going to be interrogating her brother.
Audrey's not going to want to let Jack near her brother.
Can't be helped. I mean, if Richard knows something about that missile...
Funny, this morning Jack and Audrey were planning their future. Now he's responsible for her husband's death and he may have to torture her brother.
And yet, every move he's made has been the right one.
Not if he wanted to be with her. Look, Michelle.
Tony sits beside her on a formal leather sofa.
Everything that's happened here today, it's been hard going through it with you again.
It's been hard for me, too.
And I... look at what this job does to the people in our positions. And I realize I want us to be together again. But it's got to be away from all this.
You want us to leave our jobs?
He nods with painful certainty.
We spent the last 12 years of our lives doing this. Where would we go? What would we do?
I don't care. People start over every day if it's important to them.
You're asking me to leave the only thing I've ever done.
Yes. I am.
As Tony looks deeply into her eyes, Michelle searches for her answer. Richard Heller is brought into custody under physical restraint.
This is beyond belief! I cannot be back here! Audrey, you gotta get me out of here! This guy's broken my house! This is so illegal!
All right, Audrey, listen. Just calm down, okay? Listen to me. Your phone number came up on the cell phone of the terrorist, all right?
That's what they said! And that's insane! You know that,
okay,
Audrey!
All right, listen. Okay, just right.
Audrey.
Yes.
They have to get him in the holding now.
Audrey! Audrey, don't let them know!
Who's interrogating him?
Jack.
What?
Jack arrives with Curtis.
You are not going to do this. You are not going to torture my brother.
I'll be right in there. I don't want to hurt Richard. We're out of time. He knows something, and I'm going to find out what it is.
And what if he doesn't?
You're aware that he called Marwan and came up on his cell phone.
There has got to be an explanation for that. Let me talk to him.
You honestly believe that you can interrogate your own brother?
It's because he's my brother. Maybe I can get something out of him that you can't, Jack. Please, just give me 5 minutes. Please.
Take 5 minutes.
Thank you.
4:21, Ashton Tanovic.
Mike. Don. How's President Logan managing?
Given the circumstances, he's doing very well.
I noticed that ex-president Palmer's here with him.
Yes, he brought the former president in to advise.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good idea. Palmer's been at the helm in this kind of crisis before. He knows how to lead.
President Logan doesn't have any problem leading, if that's what you're getting at.
Oh, no, not at all. It's just that if he's not going to ask his cabinet for help or the leadership, it comforts me somewhat that he's in good hands.
Is there something else you wanted to say, Tom?
Yeah, there is. The people elected John Keeler to run this country. In his absence, Logan is expected to take over. But if he's not up to the task, Mike, it is I, Speaker of the House, and not David Palmer who steps up.
Understood. And let me assure you, that's not the case. Logan is in complete control. Excuse me, Don. I gotta get back.
Sure.
Novick hurries to consult Logan and Palmer, who are deep in discussion in Logan's office.
Excuse me, Mr. President. We may have a problem.
What is it?
Don Ashton. He's been asking a number of questions and raising concerns as to President Palmer's role here.
That's too bad. We have more important things to worry about at the moment.
Sir, as Speaker of the House, he can create problems which you don't need right now.
Mike's right, sir. Don's very ambitious. Now that he's next in line to the presidency, he'll look to exploit any angle he can.
He won't put his ambition in front of national security.
No, he won't see it in those terms, sir. In his eyes, national security and his personal ambition are one and the same.
What do we do?
Show him who's in charge.
4:28. Jack arrives at Richard Heller's observation room. Audrey watches as lie detectors are attached to Richard's hands. Curtis monitors.
Everything set up?
Yeah, he's ready.
Let's do this.
Jack keys in a code to open the security door and shows Audrey into Richard's holding room.
Hey.
Audrey, get me out of here, please. Tell him I didn't do anything.
Richard, I want you to listen to me very carefully, okay? A missile carrying a nuclear warhead was launched by this man. Habib Marwan. Tell me what you know about him.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
CTU has proof that you called him last week, last Tuesday at 4 in the morning.
Look, I don't know any Habib Marwan or anything about a missile. You have got to
believe me, Audrey.
Richard, that missile is in the air right now, heading toward a city. Please, Richard, just tell me what you know.
Look, I told you, I don't know anything.
Why'd you make that phone call last week?
I didn't make a phone call, Audrey.
Secretary of Defense James Heller enters the observation room.
What's happened with my son so far?
We decided to let Audrey talk to him first. They just got started.
Has he confessed anything yet?
No, sir.
Richard, it's not making sense. That call was made.
Look, I don't know where you get your information, Audrey, but it's all bull.
His readings are spiking. He's holding something back.
Audrey kneels beside him.
Richard. Richie, I am begging you to talk to me. All right? If you don't, there is a man who will come in here and he will get the information from you. I saw him torture someone today. It's what he's trained to do. He won't stop hurting you until you tell him the truth. Please.
Don't let him do this.
Tell me what you know, and they won't.
What you want me to know?
Richie, look at me. Look at me. We have a chance to fix this.
Audrey.
This is not working. We don't have time to coddle him. Open up. I don't care if he is my son. He's playing games now.
4:30. Heller in the holding room.
All right, Richard, this has gone far enough. Either you tell us what we want to know, or I will let them use every piece of equipment they have to drag it out of you. You understand that?
Dad, don't.
Audrey, leave the room.
Dad, please.
Now! I mean it.
I want you to tell them everything you know, please.
Don't let them do this to me.
Reluctantly, Audrey leaves the holding room and closes the security door firmly behind her.
Now, what's it gonna be, Richard?
Go to hell. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't have to tell you anything.
There's a nuclear warhead gonna detonate somewhere over this country. Those lost lives will be on your head. You will be a murderer.
I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I swear.
What did you do, Richard? Tell me what you did.
Look, a week ago, I was at a bar, and there was this girl and her boyfriend. Okay?
What were their names?
I don't know. They wanted a party, and we went back to my place. Got high, and then I guess there was time for one of them to make a call on my phone.
How?
When we were in bed.
While you were in bed with her, he used your phone in the other room?
I wasn't the one in the other room, Dad. I was with him.
Unsure where to look, Heller turns his head towards the one-way mirror. Behind the glass, Audrey closes her eyes to momentarily block out her brother's humiliation.
She must have been the one that made the call.
Heller turns his back on Richard and painfully reaches the inevitable conclusion.
So you were set up?
Yeah, I guess so, Dad.
Did they leave you with a number or an address?
No.
What kind of a car were they driving?
They didn't have one. I drove.
Where did you drop them off afterwards?
I didn't. They took a cab.
Do you remember the name of the cab company?
No, Dad, I don't.
Get in touch with every cab company that works in the area. I want their logbooks. Give me a sketch artist now.
I'll run it. Take over.
Yes, sir.
So now you know. Suppose you're even more disgusted with me, like that?
This is not about how you choose to live your life, son. This is about how you put this country in jeopardy. If you had told us this information yesterday, maybe these terrorist attacks would not have occurred.
No, don't you put that on me, Dad. Because yesterday, I didn't know that that night had anything to do with these attacks.
You should have told us everything.
Jack to Audrey.
Wait outside.
You made a profound mistake today, Richard.
Hella leaves Richard to reflect and brood. 4:34. End of part two. Part three. 4:39. Jack to Buchanan.
Based on this information here, we can start to develop a contingency plan.
You got the cab company?
Better than that, we got the cab driver. He dropped the couple off in an apartment complex in Panorama City called the Mercerwood.
Did you talk to the apartment manager?
Yes, we gave him a description of the guy and the girl. He says he knows what unit they're in.
Okay, Jack, you take this.
I'm gonna need our best field ops. I want Curtis and Castle.
I need Curtis here with me.
Then you gotta give me Tony.
All right. What about the phone call to Marwan?
I used our digital comm software to analyze Richard's phone. The phone call to Marwan activated a listening. He was able to hear all of Richard's calls after that night.
That's why Marwan knew that Secretary Heller was visiting Richard off book yesterday.
Anything on the missile?
We've been running military protocol, but so far nothing.
Do we know if President Logan's going to make an announcement?
As of now, the president still thinks that would do more harm than good.
Logan to cabinet.
Please, as you were, everybody, be seated. Gentlemen and ladies, considering the crisis that we face today, I felt it prudent to enlist the assistance of ex-President Palmer.
In what capacity, sir?
Excuse me.
Sir, everybody in this room has a title and civic function. Exactly what position will President Palmer be occupying?
I'm here solely as an advisor, not only to the president, but to anyone here who requests my counsel.
President Palmer is outside the chain of command. That's what you're asking me, Don.
Asking for a clarification, sir.
The missile carrying the nuclear warhead was launched from a location in central Iowa. It's becoming more and more likely that the target is on or near one of the coasts.
It's clearly going to be New York or D.C. Why aren't we evacuating those two cities?
I disagree, Jenny. It's not clear. And if you start to evacuate these two cities, then you may have an unauthorized mass exodus of Boston, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Atlanta. That's a situation I don't think the president should be dealing with.
Maybe the president should be telling us that himself. Please, Mr. Speaker. I've discussed this option with a number of domestic experts, including President Palmer. And that's my assessment as well.
What about air defense? We're going to stand by and let the airspace over these cities remain undefended?
We have a limited number of F-18 interceptor jets at our disposal. They need to be augmenting the search for this missile and not deployed in a wait-and-see mode.
Mr. Palmer, I'm sure that we all appreciate your desire to help, but the Constitution has determined who the decision maker should be at this time. I think you're overstepping your bounds.
In the first place, it's Mr. President, Don. And it is the content of my statements you should be addressing.
David? It's true, you are to be addressed as president. It's an expression of respect, but not a functional title.
I understand that, sir. But you have to understand, I've been through this crisis before.
Yes, but we are here now. The appointed and the lawful representatives of the people of the United States.
Mr. President, I...
David, there will be no more discussion on this matter. Your point has been taken. However, Ashton has made a good point, and I want to address his concerns.
Perhaps it's best if I excuse myself.
Perhaps.
Ladies, gentlemen...
Palmer retreats to a side room.
Mr. Speaker, I think you're right. We're going to put those jets over D.C. and New York.
Ashton smiles with smug victory. Meanwhile, Palmer rendezvous with Novick in a side room.
Did you see it on the inside view?
Yes, it went exactly as you'd hoped. We won't have any more problems with Don Ashton today.
I hope you're right.
We'll be monitoring everything on three.
All right, make sure LAPD's there when we land. We're gonna need transport to the site.
I've already been called.
Okay.
Tony, wait. I can't...
I can't spend another day without you. I'm ready to leave here. I'm ready to go with you.
4:43. Tony and Michelle kiss hungrily and passionately. Tony breaks away to prep for the operation.
Tony. Be careful.
Tony smiles for the first time in ages and leaves. Hella to Audrey.
Right. They're setting up a remote feed. Richard's going to help Jack identify the suspects when they get on site.
Then what?
And I'll let him go. His motives certainly weren't seditious.
Audrey's mind starts racing.
Dad, I feel so lost.
I know, sweetheart.
Miss Raines.
Yes?
Jack Bauer's on line 2 for you.
Thank you.
You take it, sweetheart. I'll be on the floor.
4:44. From her leather sofa seat, Audrey stares across the functional office towards the telephone bleeping on Hella's desk. She slowly settles herself in the desk chair and takes a deep breath before finally answering. Jack in a CTU helicopter.
Hello?
Audrey, it's Jack. I know you don't want to talk to me right now, but there are a few things I need to say.
All right.
Look, I know with everything that's happened today, you've seen me do things that before now you thought were unimaginable.
I would have been happy to skip today.
Yeah, me too. But the truth of it is, Audrey, I never believed you could ever really love me if you'd known about everything I've done.
Jack, I can't.
Audrey, please, let me finish. These were the things that I was running away from. That's why I moved to D.C. That's why I stopped doing field work. That's why I don't work at CTU.
All I know is that you're back in it. And it's too much for me, Jack.
I know. I know. The last thing I ever wanted to do was push you away from me. God, Audrey, I love you. But this is how the job has to be done. I just want you to know how sorry I am that it had to involve you and the people you care about. Look, you don't have to say anything now. Please, just promise me, as soon as this is over, we can talk about everything that's happened. Audrey, please.
Jack.
I gotta call you back later, okay?
All right.
Jack slips on a headset and into ops mode.
Yeah.
Jack, technical got the schematic ready.
What are the approach parameters?
They want us to go in from the west.
Curtis to Edgar.
Hey. This is the composite the sketch artist made based on Richard Hurdle's description. Get it to Jack and Tony.
Will do.
Edgar downloads a picture file from a memory stick of a Scandinavian-looking surfer with a short designer beard. Across town, the man romps in bed with his sassy girlfriend.
Now can we go? We still have plenty of time to get to Marwan.
I don't like cutting it this close.
The surfer pulls on his boxer shorts and carries the rest of his clothes into the next room. As the dark-haired woman lies glistening on the bed, she becomes suspicious of the sound of an approaching helicopter. Cold instinct leads her on. Mantis-like, she walks through a beaded curtain and peers out of the apartment window at the black night sky and scrutinizes the complex entrance for signs of movement. Still wary of an impending assault, she slips her loose-fitting top back on, not having bothered to take off her miniskirt or knee-length boots in the heat of action. 4:47. Jack and the SWAT team on the helicopter.
This is a sketch of the guy that Richard Heller described. He and the girl are our only leads to finding Marwan. So once we identify the suspects, it is vital that we take them alive.
Manning.
Curtis, it's Jack. We're getting ready to land. Is everything set?
Yeah, we're all set. Richard's ready to make the positive ID.
Copy that. I want you to stay on this channel.
You got it.
We're a go.
The helicopter comes to land in a grassy field, doubling as the staging post for the assault. Two CTU mobile units join the throng of LAPD units that already circle the field, their blue lights flashing like heliport beacons. Jack and the assault team jump out of the chopper, and Jack issues orders to a waiting CTU agent in full SWAT gear.
I need you to make sure that no LAPD units coincide our established perimeter. Am I clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go.
The agents bundle into the two vehicles and speed towards the apartment complex. Meanwhile, a fully dressed woman zips up her body warmer and loads her pistol with primed readiness.
Are you ready?
They found us.
What are you talking about?
A helicopter just landed a block away.
So what?
So they found us.
Damn it.
Hey, we can't go together.
Why not?
Because one of us has to stay here in the apartment.
Why?
Because if they think that we're still here, then it gives the other a chance to escape.
You gotta be joking. One of us is gonna get caught to save the other.
Exactly. It's gonna be you.
His body falls dead on the ground. 4:49. End of part three. Four 54. Jack, Tony, and Castle arrive outside the complex gate in the lead tactical vehicle.
Jack, what do you want to do? Moving out of the apartment immediately?
No, I want you and Castle to take up positions here on the roof of the main building in the center of the complex.
All right.
Teams B and C, acknowledge when you're in position.
Team A, set.
Copy that. Let's go.
Okay.
LAPD, I need the entry code for the south gate.
The large metal gate slides open automatically, and Jack enters the complex on foot.
I'm in.
Jack takes up position by the perimeter fence and scans the apartments with his night scope. The shadow of a long-haired woman flits across a window.
Okay, I've got a visual on the apartment. There's activity inside. McCallum, meet me at the front door of the apartment.
Have your people cover us.
On my way.
McCallum orders his men into position and runs through neatly planted shrubberies, along bland outside corridors, and up the stairs of the marble apartment complex towards a determined Jack. 4:55. The two agents rendezvous outside the suspect's apartment.
Pick it.
McCallum nervously jabs at the lock with a skeleton key. Jack kneels low as he slips open the door and leads the way into the apartment with his gun at the ready. McCallum follows. Jack heads left as he sends McCallum to swoop round to the right. Cautiously, they check the apartment over, door by door, room by room. The bathroom is tidy and empty. In the sitting room, a man watches television with his back to the door. Jack challenges him.
Put your hands where I can see them. Put your hands where I can see them now!
The surfer's lifeless body stares back at him.
He's dead. Get a picture of him and send it back to CTU.
Got it.
Tony, this is Jack.
Has anybody reported any outside movement?
No, why?
The man is dead. The girl is no longer in the apartment.
She couldn't have gotten past the perimeter teams.
I know, but there are plenty of other places to hide. I want all teams to maintain their positions until we have time to search the other apartments.
Roger that. All teams, hold position.
Charlie, copy that.
4:56. As Castle scouts around the rooftop, the woman ambushes him from the shadows, shoots him in the arm, and takes him hostage. Tony points his gun at the ready.
Drop your gun.
The woman shoots Castle again in the leg, making him drop onto his knees.
All right.
Tony lays his gun down on the ground.
Kick it away.
Tony obeys.
Look, he's injured. Why don't you let him go? You can take me instead.
You're two-way.
As she stares back with cold fish eyes, Tony drops the radio to the floor.
Turn around, on your knees, hands on your head.
Tony kneels submissively as she instructs the injured Castle.
Cuff him.
Castle crawls forward in a slow agony, with point-blank gunshot wounds to his arm and leg smarting every time he tries to move. As he hobbles forward, she picks up Tony's two-way radio. Castle obediently cuffs Tony's wrists behind his back. To help himself stand up, Castle places all his weight on Tony's shoulder. But as soon as he's up, the fish-eyed woman shoots Castle down in cold blood. And his lifeless body flops to the ground.
Get up.
Tony clambers to his feet and is led away at gunpoint along a rooftop walkway. Meanwhile, McCallum emails a digital photo of the dead surfer back to Curtis and Richard at CTU.
Curtis, you should have it.
Well, is that him? Is that him?
Yeah.
Jack, that's him. Richard gave us a positive ID on the picture.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. Tactical, this is Bauer. I need five teams of two to initiate a search of the complex. Start with the outer buildings along the perimeter. Move your way in. Tony, this is Jack. We're initiating the search. Tony, do you copy? Castle, why is Almeida not on comm?
Suspecting the worst, Jack heads for the roof.
Tony, do you copy? Tony, come in!
4:58. As Jack works his way up the back stairs, Tony is gagged by the fish-eyed mantis woman, and Michelle begins to fret with newfound worry. Jack arrives at the roof and spots the standard-issue gun on the floor. He carefully rounds the corner and finds Castle's dead body lying on the ground. Next to him lies Tony's abandoned gun.
All teams, this is Bauer. Castle is down. Almeida is missing. I repeat, Almeida is missing and possibly a hostage. Our communications have been compromised. Move over to secondary frequency. CTU, I need more tactical personnel now.
Michelle, did you copy that? Michelle!
You heard him, people. Shift profiles. We may have a hostage situation. Move, now!
5 a.m.